It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Tuesday. Hope you're having a fantastic start to your day. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nani's favorite, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos on this fine Tuesday in America's Music City. What's up, JoJo?
Oh, it is an absolutely beautiful day outside, so get out there and walk and do whatever you need to do. Just get outside at some point today.
I agree. You know, one of my favorite like radio sayings is, and I learned this from our old friend Jeremy Benefield, because he worked in radio in this town for a long time, but using the phrase America's Music City, I don't think it's used enough, and I like saying it. So
it is. It is America's Music City.
Yeah.
You go anywhere and say, where are you from? I'm from America's Music City.
And Nashville.
If they say Austin, you just slap them in the face.
You do. No, you don't slap them. You punch them.
Punch,
I mean,
good.
You just punch the you-know-what out of them.
I like that.
That's a good one. Did you enjoy watching the coverage of Cam Ward's pro day yesterday?
So I did, and it's a typical pro day, right? And they, you know, break it. I'm like, I don't think you move yourself any forward on a pro day. I think in that situation, you kind of move yourself back. And all I kept thinking about was the NFL Network, when they did Zach Wilson's pro day. How they pretty much knighted him as the greatest pro day quarterback ever. Look at that throw across his body and everything he does.
That says a whole lot.
Right? Does it not? So I'm like, I don't care.
Guy was awful.
I got 25 game films of Cam Ward. Somebody call it – my favorite radio show is Robbie and Rexford. Because
Great show.
I listen in the morning. I'm at the gym, and Joe Rexford drives me crazy. And I love him, though. I love him. And a guy called in today and said he would like to have seen, and I don't know, it's probably around 7:30 this morning or 7:40. And the guy was like, well, I'd like to have seen Cam Ward hit the receivers more in stride at a 8.2 variable in his chest instead of lower side at a 4.0. I'm like, what are we doing here? I can take you both guys outside and throw bullet passes at you. Am I getting drafted?
No.
Is Dr. Crane getting drafted?
Especially when you're throwing throwing two receivers you already know that are uncovered.
Yeah.
They're guarded against air.
Yep.
You have no rush.
Zero.
Like, here's the deal. If they're not judging him on how he throws the football and his stance and all that stuff at this point. This is a getting to know you. That's what this is. The throwing is all for show.
Right.
Like, if they haven't decided if he's good enough to throw the football by now, then we got bigger problems.
Exactly.
That's what this is. And I thought about this on the way here. I've been thinking about this. At the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, meaning the Tennessee Titans, you have to ask yourself one simple question. It doesn't matter that he's 1-1. It doesn't franchise quarterback. You know, can he be better than McNair? None of that matters. The question you have to ask yourself is he a starting quarterback in the National Football League?
Pretty simple, right?
That's it. In your mind, is he a starting quarterback in the National Football League?
What do you think right now?
I think he is a starting quarterback in the National Football League. Do I think he's franchise, game-changing, makes everyone around you better, MVP, Hall of Fame, whatever? It's unfair for me to even try to answer that right now, but the answer is no.
Then why you drafted him?
Because you don't have a quarterback. You have quarterbacks on the roster.
Right.
But do you have a starting quarterback on your roster?
You've got guys who've started.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, he could turn out to be that. Which, if that's the case, then they're all going to get fired. But I mean, you have the number one overall pick. Right now, you are obligated to make that pick unless you trade out of it. If you feel that he is a guy that is going to make your team better and he can start, then that's what you have to do.
If that room is not 75% for him,
which I think they are,
you don't take him.
Like, watching
their people in there, like, no.
Watching them play grab ass yesterday.
Shut your mouth.
Basically told me they're taking him.
That was weird.
Yeah, I mean, they're all buddy-buddy. I mean, they're taking him to dinner and all that. Like, I heard Robbie say it this morning. If they could have taken him home last night, they would have. I mean, this is like the when you adopt a pet, they're there, you know, doing the pre-adoption visit. I mean, this is basically what this is.
Oh, I had a
good joke. That's what she said.
I got a good joke. I'll just keep it to myself.
Oh, is it one that I'd have to talk to you after the show?
Yes, or during the show.
Is it one where Dr. Crane and I would have to finish the show?
Yes, it would. Oh, yeah, so we're good on that. No, look, they go down there and they see what they wanted to see and they come back. I just don't think – I still think there's a lot, and I hate using this word because it makes me sound smart, and I'm not – consternation. And there's a lot with this pick that I see people talking about. We go back, Caleb Williams, we knew. Even Bryce Young to a certain point was like, yeah, that guy, okay, sort of did Alabama, a little small. But Bryce Young that first year, awful. Last year, when he got benched, then he came back. What was he?
He was good.
He's getting better.
I think he's getting it. Mm-hmm. That's what everybody has to be prepared for. And when I say everybody, I'm really talking to one person. Amy, you have to be ready to not be good. You're not good now. You're not going to be better. You have to be ready to allow the young quarterback to have growing pains. And here's the other thing. If anyone over there is unsure on Brian Callahan, like, honestly, I know it's late, fire him now.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you need to see this through, because you're just going to set the kid back if you do what so many other teams have done. Chicago just did it, where you draft him, you have a coach, he's a lame duck coach, you fire the coach, and then you basically hit restart. That's what you're doing.
Titans did it here.
Yeah, they all do it.
I mean, Mariota.
Right? They did it.
Look, here's the deal.
And quite frankly, they got the right guy for Mariota in Mularkey, and he knew him, so that helped too.
Right. But here's the deal. How dare you pick on Amy Adams when she's busy firing longtime employees? All right. She's busy.
Let's address that for a second. And look, I was kind of thinking how, because I've heard Joe do it and I heard Jared yesterday. So Robbie Bourne, who's a longtime PR director for the Titans, 28 seasons, I believe. In fact, I think Floyd hired him. But six coaches, six general managers, been there a long time. Only person I've ever known, you know, at the top to really deal with when it comes to that. And, you know, for all of you, you know, that doesn't really matter. But he's the one that helps us get the players on, or get the coaches, or get the people on. And, you know, Robbie was always great to deal with. And he left the team yesterday. And I think that's a mistake. I think he's been a really, really, really good ambassador for them. He was obviously great to us. I mean, I literally said to him, you've watched me grow up, you know, for the last 13 years. And so I hate that. I think it's a bad move for the team. But they have some other good people in PR that, you know, in Dwight and Jared, and that, you know, have been there a long time too, that I know are going to carry the torch, but I hate to see Robbie go, and always appreciated him. So,
yeah, I know people in Radio Limp like, who cares? And I just –
Right.
And Joe had a great point
this
today.
This is more for us, but I felt it was something that needed to be said.
Yeah, Rexroad's like, look, if you fire the good manager at McDonald's, does the Big Mac still get made? Yeah, it does. But that relationship you have with that manager when you go in the restaurant, that's kind of – I thought that was well put. And that's the thing with Robbie. It's been there so long. I just don't – look, I don't comment. I hate seeing somebody lose their job, and I don't know the details surrounding whatever. I just hate him doing that, and it's just, you know, things happen. In corporate world, those things happen all the time. You just hate it for him, and will it affect our coverage of what they didn't know? None of that stuff, but it's just a guy we had a relationship with, and it's unfortunate. And I got an email from the assistant PR guy yesterday about transactions.
Yeah,
I
got that too.
Why am I getting this? Because I'm not on the Titans email list, thank God. And I'm like, okay, I'm getting these now. Then the news came out on that. And it's just – it's part of life. I mean, things happen, move on. But for us in the media, if you're wondering why we're kind of making more out of it, then you're like, why is that? Then you know why. It's just a relationship.
Well, and look, he listened. I mean, that was part of his thing. But he listened to us and the other place. And, you know, I'll say this too. And, again, this is more of an us thing and not as much of – it's inside baseball a little bit, but, you know, we aren't the flagship of the Titans. They're not obligated to do anything with us.
True.
And Robbie always made sure that they did. Now, it wasn't always exactly what we wanted or when we wanted or things like that, but I understood, and I understood the role he had to play, and I was always appreciative of that. You know, obviously, we see it with being the flagship for the Predators that we have more access than
right.
You know, other places might, but you know, I was always very appreciative of that, and so just wanted to say thank you and everything to Robbie Bourne. But we will continue the discussion, because I have another thing that stood out to me yesterday that made me scratch my head and laugh all at the same time. Speaking of former Titans employees, there was one there yesterday.
Oh yes.
And we will discuss that coming up next. We're up and running on this Tuesday, 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can weigh in on the pro day and anything else we'll get into today. Plus, you have a question of the day that we will get to
yes.
as well. It's Chasing Big Joe on a Tuesday, 1025, 1063, The Game.
But is there anything that's, from your perspective, that's going to make you nervous about making this transition into becoming an NFL player? And that could be on or off the field.
I haven't really thought about it. I probably still have to get into it first, actually being a quarterback. But on film, it's the same as college. Besides the D-line, who's obviously better. Every team playing gets the highest paid defensive lineman. So, you know, the game could speed up a little bit. But just from a back-end standpoint, a lot of guys want to put the safety high 25 yards down the field and leave the middle field wide open. So some teams who did that to us this year, they paid the price. I think some teams in the NFL did a lot of too high stuff, like Dallas going a lot of Tampa, a lot of cover two. They leave way too much space on the sideline down the seams. And so I just think, you know, the arm strength and, you know, the confidence that I'm bringing, along with the, you know, me getting my receivers better, I just think I'll be able to put the ball where I want.
That was future Titans quarterback Cam Ward at his pro day yesterday, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. But did you notice the gentleman asking the question for CBS Sports, who that was? Did that voice sound familiar to you?
It took a while, because the only time I ever interacted with him, he was napping. So,
well,
yes.
There was no mention of the ball not bouncing their way. But
right, we got all
that was
this.
Former Titans general manager Rand Carthon, who is and good for him. I'm glad he's doing something, you know. But he was came out the wrong way.
Oh, I know what you mean.
But he was there working for CBS Sports, and you know, I when I saw that on Twitter, I was like,
same.
This is awkward. I mean, like, does Borgonzi and Brinker and like, do they all walk over there? I'm like, oh, hey, what's up? How you doing?
I mean, how does that conversation go? I'd like to know. I wish you'd have been able to see that.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
hey, man, how's the family?
The thing too is, you know, he's sitting there talking to Cam Ward, thinking like, well, 3 months ago I was the one that was going to be drafting you,
right.
And now I'm here talking to you for media. You yeah, know? But
there it is, man.
But yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was awkward, but. I mean, the Titans have nothing to do with that. That's obviously CBS can get who they want, and good on them for, you know, getting a guy that's basically responsible for making the Titans the number one overall pick.
Yeah,
so.
Right? Hey, that had a lot to do with you sitting here right now, Cam Moore, for all that. I just, you know, good for CBS Sports for getting him. Like, he's a former NFL GM recently in the league. We'll probably get another shot down the road, but – it was I thought the interview, we laughed, but I thought it was a good interview.
Yeah.
Because Cam Ward explained some things, football terminology, that the average fan like, huh? But it was good about the high safety in the middle of the field and this and that and all that goes on. So I liked it. That was good.
Do you think Cam sits down and before they go on air, Rand looks at him and goes, hey, man, sorry about that. And Cam goes, about what? And he goes, you'll see. You'll see. You'll know.
Oh, and then like 6 months from that, I'd be like, damn, man.
He calls him up like, you son of a.
I knew that.
I will say, in listening to him do various interviews and everything, he does seem like he has a high football IQ. Like he at least can talk the talk. You know, can he walk the walk? We'll find out in the NFL. But I mean, based on what I can tell, he seems to see things well, to, you know, to process it. And again, I think that's something that the Titans need to look closely at, because that was Will Levis's biggest problem. Now, it seemed to be there in practice, but he couldn't translate it to games. When he got into the game, it was almost like he freaked out, you know, and just everything shut down. You know, how can Cam process the pressures of actually being in a game?
Right. I want to read this to you. This is a Hall of Fame quarterback's pre-draft evaluation. This quarterback was not highly rated by scouts, with many questioning his arm strength and decision-making. But one guy saw his potential and knocked out all the negative people. The concerns were some scouts felt he didn't have a strong enough arm. In fact, he had an arm that was a little bit embarrassing for a pro quarterback if he made it to the league. They questioned his decision-making, suggesting he sometimes forced passes to his primary receiver, even when they recovered, never ever looking off the secondary receiver. One scout said, "I would never draft him because he's gutty, a gambling, cocky type of quarterback, and he's uncoachable." This quarterback was Joe Montana.
I was about to say, like, which Hall of Fame quarterback was this?
And Bill Walsh says, "All right, his quickness, agility, and fluid movement looks like Joe Namath. He can move out of the pocket. That means good decision-making in an instant." What do you do there? He goes, "He recognized Montilla's ability to make difficult passes, trusting his receiver to make the exact route. Finally, Walsh was impressed by Montana's instincts and ability to play well when relying on them," meaning he's a natural quarterback. I think Cam Ward fits what the strengths of a Joe Montana at this moment. Quickness, agility, fluid. He can make difficult passes look easy. Go back to that California game when he rallied Miami behind. They were down by 30 points, and the guy never quit. I see that. But remember, all it takes is for one guy to believe in you.
Yeah.
So Montana went in the third round with the 49ers. And Jerry Rice wasn't drafted till 85.
He was a third rounder?
Yeah, third rounder. Oh, wow. So Jerry Rice didn't come into 85, but Walsh liked the fact that he competed and played in big-time games. Cam Ward competed and played in big-time games. So a lot of intangibles that are there. Look, you're going to knock the quarterback down regardless, no matter what. You're going to
sure.
This, that. We talk about Zach Wilson, his pro day, how great it was, and on and on. But if the Titans truly believe he's the guy, then take him.
Yeah. And look, I'm hoping, because I like Brian Callahan, I do, and I want him to prove everybody wrong. Like, you know, you've been very outspoken about him.
Very.
And I respect that, but okay. I hope you're wrong. I really do.
Well, that's nice and then rude.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, it is what it is. But, I mean, like, I want this to work. Like, here's what's crazy. I just realized this. 1 month from today will be a Friday. It will be the day of the second and third round of the draft. It'll mm-hmm. be day two. So we will be sitting here, most likely, talking about what we're already talking about now that we already know. Now, there'll be surprises in the first round and everything that we'll probably get into. But the main conversation will be, all right, it's official. Cam Ward is a Tennessee Titan. What's next? And what's funny about all that is I think we'll talk more about the other rounds than we will the first round, because we've known. Yeah. You know? And now it's how do you build around him? Because I did an exercise this morning.
That's the first time.
I know, right? I started writing out, you know, the starters for the Titans, mainly on offense.
Yeah. Wait, you did with, show prep?
I did show prep, yes, with Cam Ward as the quarterback.
Okay.
Wide receiver 2, here are your options. Bryce Oliver, Van Jefferson, and that guy that they that got the, now two GMs ago, fired when he drafted him, Treylon Burks.
I'll go with Van Jefferson. All right, I'll take that.
And that's your those are your options right now.
Okay. So Ridley and then Van Jefferson. I'll take that for now. All right.
Now there are some good receivers that I think you could take at 35 with the second round pick. And they'd be your guy day one to go with Ridley. But
what's the guy from Miami that's his buddy? A little bit.
Yeah,
Crespo?
Restrepo?
Yeah, Restrepo.
Restrepo, I like
And he
that.
Ran like a 4.8 40 yesterday, which was slow.
Did he?
Yeah.
Titans are going to take him.
You know what? There's a football fast and there's a clocking fast. There's a difference.
Right.
Well, there is. I mean, the running the 40 and all that stuff to me is just.
Why? Well, Jerry Rice ran a 4.6.
Yeah, I'm just stating
I love Jerry Rice.
So, you know, in some mocks, Burden has dropped. And if he drops to the second round, I'd take him.
Why is he dropping?
I don't know. Now, that's a fair question, but I don't know. You look at some, he's the second-ranked receiver. There's the kid from Ohio State that's on there. I love Matthew Golden, and a lot of mocks have him around 35. He could sneak into the first
round.
Where's
he from again?
Texas.
Texas. All right.
I think he's the one that would probably, if he's there.
So you think if they take Cam Ward for a second round receiver.
Receiver. Okay. Yeah.
All right. I'm with you. I like it. You got to make it exciting.
If they're there. If the right one, if the one that you have identified and put on your board is there at 35, then yeah.
So this looks really good. Yeah, Cam Ward, if you take a receiver, second, one of these guys that you like. I like this. All right. We're rolling.
Yep. Because after that, like, 63 would be the next kind of the next era. You don't have a third-round pick. That's Trey Harris of Ole Miss. Now, you've had success with an Ole Miss receiver in the past. So,
you have.
You know, but I don't think this one is that one. So, mm-hmm. But Golden, I mean, Golden's – I watched him in the playoff, and he was one of those that I knew of him. I had heard of him. But I actually watched him in the playoff, and I remember texting TD. I'm like, yo, this Golden kid, like – and he goes, oh, yeah, he's nice. He's real nice.
He's golden.
He's golden. All so right. We'll see. I mean, obviously the chips have to fall. But
give me your offense. I'm excited about this offense that they're going to start.
All right, so Cam Ward, Tony Pollard.
Like it.
Ridley, okay. Right now, would be Van Jefferson
okay.
Probably.
All right.
Dan Moore, Peter Skoronski, Lloyd Cushenberry / Corey Levin, because I don't know if Cushenberry is going to be ready to start the season.
All right. I think Levin sucks, but that's okay.
He does, but, you know, he's on the team. Kevin Zeitler, J.C. Latham. Tight end right now is Chigakonkwo. I still think you have to address that because I don't think you have a true starting tight end.
What happened to him? I thought he was really decent for a while, then regressed.
I don't know.
And I saw that Kuharski reported that they brought the Oregon tight end, or allegedly he was supposed to come in town, the big boy from Oregon. So
yeah.
Maybe that's an option in the second round.
Could be.
What's that, Ferguson, Terrence, yeah. Or something like that? Yeah.
Trey, I think. He's a top 30 visit, right?
Yeah, I think it's Terrence.
Terrence. Yeah. I'll stick to producing.
Well, Tyler Warren is the Penn State one, but I think he'll be gone. Terrence Ferguson is who you're talking about.
Yep, TF. Yep. We, in high school, like, WTF, right? And then we did him back then, Terrence Ferguson. Oregon.
Yep.
Oregon, yeah. So, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, if you take Cam Ward, I think you got to compliment him second round. You got to.
Yeah.
I just think you'd have to compliment him somewhere. His buddy from Miami, a big tight end. The goal.
Arroyo. Elijah Arroyo played with him at Miami, the tight end.
Okay. Well, who was the – do you think Golden will last the second –
I honestly don't. I mean, I think somebody would probably at the end of the first round
snag him, like snag the Ravens. Him. They're usually good
maybe,
at doing
yeah.
Stuff like that. I'm good, but I'm telling you, I just until the Giants say
honestly,
no,
Kansas City. I could see Kansas City taking him. They need a receiver.
And keep oh, there you go. And they've already got what Xavier Worthy is.
Yeah,
he
I saw
fell
it.
Fell off towards the end.
I saw it. Well, it didn't get. I think he was battling something too, but I saw he's going to make like $800,000 this year after taxes and everything, and he's got like all these luxury cars and stuff.
Worthy?
And, yeah.
Yeah. Didn't he get into a wreck?
No, that was the other one.
Okay.
Rice.
Rice. Okay,
yeah.
good.
The other receiver.
Good. All right.
Yeah,
good.
But no, I always remember just Herm Edwards, like, you need one car. One house, one girlfriend.
Yeah, that's right. Who was it that drove the Honda Accord? Was it A.J. Brown? I think he drove a Honda, and they're like, you're going to – he's like, why?
Yeah, no,
I got
it works.
Better places to spend my money. And I was like, all right, I'm with you on this. I think it was a Honda Accord he drove, like 2009
I remember what you're talking about, yeah. That there was
– I love it, man. Good for him.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, Big Joe – has our question of the day. Plus, be listening this hour. We'll qualify you. In fact, you know what? We're going to do it right now. Let's just do it right now. Text in the keyword wedding, WEDDING, to 615-737-1025 for your chance to win a pair of all-inclusive Eurostone Club tickets to see Billy Idol and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, May 17th. Text wedding, right now to 615-737-1025. It's served up by Bavarian Beer House, located at Opry Mills Mall. Enjoy traditional German beer, brats, giant pretzels, and more in their expansive beer hall and garden. Want to go see Billy Idol? Text wedding right now. Good luck. We'll have more coming next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. All right, what's our theme here? Obviously, we got some Van Halen, a little 5150.
40 years ago, this album came out. And 39 years ago, 1986, and I was a senior in high school, everybody had this album. This album had to have sold 50 million copies because everybody played it for the next year or so. But honoring the first album without David Lee Roth, man, for Van Halen, and they knocked it out of the park.
It's a great album, yep. Too. Let's bring in our man Hal Gill, who is also great, joins us now on the program. Skillsy, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
How is lovely Raleigh, North Carolina, as the Preds get ready to take on the Hurricanes?
Well, in true Predators 24-25 form, it rained yesterday, believe it or not. But the sun is out now, so I'm hoping, take in a little bit of sunshine, and then hopefully you get a big win tonight.
How do you deal with the frustration of you play such a great game against Toronto to wrap up that homestand? You're down 2-0. You battle back. You beat a really, really good playoff team. And then on the flip side, you're playing a team in St. Louis that's desperate, which we know how dangerous a desperate team can be. And you don't have the same result. How do you deal with the frustration at this time of year with the way the season has gone when you have two outings like that?
Yeah, I think the bottom line is you just got to control your own emotion and your own output. You know, you got to compete every night, and sometimes you're going to win, sometimes you're going to lose, and really, that's not what's important right now. What's important is the effort. And so I thought the effort was there. The compete, the battle was in St. Louis. It didn't work out, but like it did against Toronto. But you can at least hang your hat on the fact that you went out and competed. And there's guys making plays, and you can see that the passion is there. So that's really what I'm looking for.
Talking to Hal Gill this morning, who's live in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hal, when I look at this in the standings and the stats, and I see that the Nashville Predators have scored the lowest amount of goals in the league, that blows my mind. When you think about that, the firepower that they've had throughout the season, who do we blame for this? Or is it just a collective?
Well, it's got to be a collective. There's not really anyone that stands out. I think there has to be a complete reevaluation of everything, and nothing has worked this season. They've said to get to the interior, and if you look at the stats, Willie Donick, I'm sure, gives you guys all the stats that you can handle. The expected goals for are good. They should be scoring goals. So they're getting the opportunities. They're just not cashing them in. There's certain things throughout the season that became themes. One was missing the net. Sometimes you when you lose a little confidence, you aim a little bit too much, and you're trying to find point, get that corner, get that top corner, instead of just getting it on net, and that's crept in. Other things have been just the inability to get to the interior and to get those high scoring chances. So it's a tough mix, but they got to figure it out. I mean, they got to figure it out this year, and so that they can plan to get it right by next year.
Chase is asking about how they played so well versus Toronto on Saturday, and in St. Louis is desperate and took him to the shed on Sunday. Look, at home, Carolina is tied for the league in most wins at home, and they're going a different direction. The Predators are going. That's why the Preds win a game like this, because it drives you crazy because you don't understand what's going on with this team.
That's right. That's the frustrating part, isn't it? I do think, there's the fear of getting embarrassed when you play against a good team, and certainly Toronto could embarrass you. So you lock it down and you tighten up and you play the right way. You play Anaheim and it's not as scary, right? So you be a little bit lax. But I do think that embarrassment against Anaheim kind of stuck with them, and they got called out for being soft, which is the worst thing for a player to go through. So, here they are. Now they got to try to prove it on a night in, night out basis that they're not soft, that they can compete, and that's the challenge for the rest of the year.
Hal Gill is with us on the Chasing Big Joe show. Luke Evangelista is a guy that I root for. You know, when he has a night like he did the other night against Toronto, 3-point night, you know, childhood team that he rooted for. But like everybody, it's just been such an up and down year. What does he need to do once they get to the offseason to make his game more consistent? Because I do think he has it.
Yeah. No, he's a good kid to root for. You know, you want to see him do well. He's got the swagger. He's got all the intangibles. He's got a ton of skill. I do think playing with O'Reilly he's gotten to another battle level where he's competing and fighting for pucks. And, you know, a couple times he got an assist for dumping it in and going and getting the puck back and showing that little bit of fire. But I really think when he can cycle and move his feet in the offensive zone and attack the middle, and he's done it off the rush a few times, but if he can do that consistently, I think he's got the skill set to be able to make those plays to the middle. And then when he moves his feet and gets that little extra grind in his step, then I think he can create a ton of offense. So certainly exciting to see what he did against Toronto and what he's starting to build on. We just need to see more of it.
There's 12 games left. We're starting to see Philip Forsberg get on a little bit of a streak. Does he have 12 goals left in him? Because I kind of feel like he does.
Yeah, I mean, I look at Phil and, like, the upside is enormous. It was interesting. I think against Toronto, it was Brandon Carlo that kind of jabbed him up in front of the net. And Phil got a little ornery, got a little upset, and he did it in St. Louis as well. When he plays with a little bit of fire, he's tough to stop. He's got an edge. When he attacks a game, he's scary. And then that shot is deadly lethal. So if he dials that in, beginning of the season, you probably could have added another 10 goals to his to his game just because he missed the net and missed some chances, hit the post a bunch of times. But I feel like, you know, if he plays with that edge, 12 is not out of reach.
Hal, I know you don't do it, and I know you and Mason don't do it, and guys who know the game don't do it, but why doesn't Carolina get the respect across the league that it deserves? Because that's a damn good franchise, and it's a damn good team this year.
Yeah, it's Bindemore, right? It's Rod the Bod. He brings it. He makes skilled players play with an edge, and, you know, they have – the guys like Aho, that's a skilled player, he's tough to play against. He attacks the net. You know, like he wants to be a player that, you know, plays well defensively. He'll kill penalties. And I really think a lot of these guys are just an extension of Brindamore and what he brings.
Well said.
He is Hal Gill joining us here on the program. Skillsy, have a great call tonight, and we'll see you back in Smashville on Thursday.
All right, sounds good, boys. Take it easy.
Absolutely. Hal Gill joining us here on the program, as he does every Tuesday at 9:30. Predators back in action against the Carolina Hurricanes. Tonight, Robbie Stanley will have pregame for you starting at 5 o'clock with, I believe, a special guest, but working on that right now at 5 o'clock. And then Max and Hal will have the call at 6.
If it is Rex Road special guest, I'm going to slap you.
It's a little better than Rex Road.
It better be.
Love Rex Road.
That's a tough one to get better than Rex Road there.
So we will let you know on that.
All right. So our question of the day is, we'll do this for the break. We want to hear from you. We did this last year, and the responses were great, and we did it at the same time last year. Look, spring is around the corner. It means you're getting outside. You're playing softball. You're doing more things. I'd like to know, what is the worst sports injury you ever had? Not playing in high school, but out of high school. What's the worst sports injury? Last night I drove by McGavick High School in the softball field. There were two ambulances out there. Evidently somebody broke their leg, what I was told, on the softball field.
Ouch.
Which is awful, right? You hate that. But what's the worst sports injury you have suffered since you've been out of high school? I'm just curious what all the – because this is the time, though. We're outside. We're doing more. 615-737-1025. Worst sports injury.
All right. That is our question of the day. And we will get to that coming up next, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It's the theme song to every relationship I've ever had.
All right.
No, just kidding. Remember, Jason Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
When he came in concert, we were there last August. He's like, yeah, I'll play a little song you might know. And he played this one, and the crowd just went insane.
I'm not going to lie to you. I was close to tears because it might be my favorite Van Halen song, and it's probably a top five of like my all-time favorite songs. Like I love like the beginning of this, just like
it's great.
And when the music hits, when Ricky and I saw him play in Vegas at the Strat, and he did this, and it was a smaller room. Like it was so cool. And Jason Bonham was playing drums, and Lita Ford she came out and played guitar some, and like it was so cool. But yeah, when we saw him at Bridgestone, and they basically all played Van Halen,
yeah,
including some David Lee Roth stuff like that. Like when they play, I was like all night waiting to hear that song.
And he's like, we're gonna be here all night playing songs. We're like, look, you're 75. You might last till 9. And like at 11:45, we're like, he is gonna play all night long.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
I really hope I get to see him again too.
Sure,
because like it just. There is no – like David Lee Roth is pretty much retired and his voice is shot.
Eddie's gone.
So the closest thing to Van Halen is Sammy Hagar kind of keeping it alive.
Well,
so.
And Michael Anthony's with
him
too.
Well, Michael – right.
So it's great, man, yeah.
I would love to see, Alex and Wolf play with him, which would be really cool.
They just put those egos aside, man.
I think they will.
Sure.
I mean, and even – like if you did a reunion tour – like a tribute tour or whatever, and it's Sammy and Michael Anthony and Alex Van Halen and Wolf Van Halen, and then David comes, maybe comes out and does like one song or something. That would be – I know it would never happen, but it would
never happen.
But it would be awesome.
Oh, my goodness. Our question on the text line, worst sports injury you've ever had since getting out of high school? Evidently, there was a bad one last night. I think was told the guy broke his leg in a softball game. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but there are two ambulances there, and that's what I was told. But just injuries.
Well, and Juju Watkins, didn't she get hurt last night for USC?
Oh, tore ACL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saw that.
That is an ACL. An Achilles tear is my greatest fear at 56 years old.
I've watched it firsthand.
Me too.
It is.
Like, I am like, I don't know if it's because I've just watched so much sports, but I'm just so self-conscious about that of like, I don't want to blow my Achilles out.
Right. But I guess because like with ACL, you could plant and moving or coming down and that pops that way. But an Achilles, you could be walking down the steps. The late, great Bob Hyde over with the Titans blew his Achilles out, I think, by walking down steps. And the last step he took, and it just snapped. So it scares me to death. But those are others that have happened. So I hope we have some on the text line.
Let's get to that now. 615-737-1025. Man, there is a lot on here. Chris says, I pulled a muscle in my butt while bowling. Oh, it hurts.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. That's a gluteus maximus something, right?
So you're saying after high school.
Yeah, because we all got injured in high school.
Okay.
This is like getting into your 20s and 30s and 40s.
Yeah. Andrew from Dover, mine happened when I was playing college ball at Bethel University in McKenzie, Tennessee. I had turned my ankle and didn't let it heal enough. 2 weeks later, I came down sideways after doing a layup and had a second-degree ankle sprain. I thought I broke it. I was bruised from my ankle all the way to my knee and was in a boot for 8 weeks and missed the rest of the season.
For an ankle sprain? Good Lord, man.
Sorry about that. I sprained my – when I was a kid, I was probably like 10, I sprained my ankle. And whenever I tried – like I told my mom, like when I tried to like press down on it, I felt like the bone was going to break through. And it was a really, really severe sprain. It wasn't broken. Right. Like I got x-rays. Like it wasn't broken.
And she reached down and said, be tougher.
No, she said, it's okay, Angel.
Oh, man.
Neely says, during COVID, I broke my pinky finger,
ooh,
slam dunking a basketball in an 8-foot goal with my friend's kids. Since it was during COVID, I couldn't do anything about it. And about a year later, I was at my nephew's Little League game. I reached up to catch a foul ball instinctively and broke the same pinky finger again. Now it's all twisted and turned in all sorts of directions.
Oh, that sucks, man. You can't pick your nose.
Well, so now say, yeah, you played in the NFL and like hurt it that
way. Yeah, exactly right.
Patrick says, oh, man, I popped my hamstring 1 year playing softball up in Syracuse when I was 22. The worst injury I've ever had. That includes a broken leg and a broken jaw. Nothing compared to my hamstring ripping in two.
Oh, great. I've never had that.
Well, that sounds
huge. I mean, because that is just, I guess you're exerting at that point. You're actually doing some sort of exercise, and then it pops like, yeah, thanks for nothing. Oh, no. Uh-oh.
Huffy and Dixon. My brother took a hockey puck to the Jewels with no cup on. She's doing fine now, though.
Why would you play hockey without a cup? No, absolutely not. Dr. Crane, did you wear a cup in high school football?
No, sir.
You didn't?
No.
I mean, all it takes.
It affected the speed aspect, even though I wasn't that fast, but it still affected the speed. I was a gunner.
Okay.
I was a special teams specialist.
All it takes is one cleat there of awkward movement to.
I had worse experience. I went in an ambulance for a football game once. That was bad. Had a 300-pounder. I was barrel rolling a tackle. He landed on my rib cage. I couldn't breathe. My face was turning colors and stuff. So the trainer came over real fast. I chucked my helmet 30 yards. She popped something in my back, and I was able to breathe again. So I had really bad bruised ribs on my left side of my body.
That is bizarre.
Yeah.
I would have told you to just get up and walk it off.
Yeah. You know, I mean, some people just tell me to be a man, but.
Rub a little dirt on it and get up there and get going.
I thought I was dying, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm glad you didn't.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to answer these and get back into the sports conversation as well. It's Chase and Big Joe on a Tuesday. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.